now entering the ring, Hulk Hogan!
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you one thing, dude. I've lifted a 500-pound giant, brother, and I've run wild with the NWO. I've carried all my little Hulkamaniacs to victory with these 24-inch pythons, dude. But I've never seen anything like the sleeper wire draft genius, brother. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created all the Hulkamaniacs, and then he created the sleeper wire draft genius. This draft kid is bigger than Yokozuna, stronger than the Hitman, craftier than Jake the Snake, brother, and more powerful than Andre the Giant, dude. So pre-order the Sleeper Wire Draft Genius now by signing up for the Sleeper Wire Patreon. Sleeper Mania is running wild, brother, and what you gonna do when the Sleeper Wire Draft Genius runs wild on you?
All right, welcome to the show, sleepers. You guys made it. I'm Boost Prophet, as you know. With me, got our very own George from Breaking the Grind Podcast. What's up, George? How's it going today?
Man, it's another wonderful Monday evening. Life is fantastic.
It's very nice. And we're not here alone. We've got the lovely bearded man, Josh ADHD from Road to Grinders. Welcome, Josh. Glad to have you on.
I appreciate you guys having me. Looking forward to talking with y'all tonight.
Yeah, man, we're at the start of camp. A lot of scenarios starting to play themselves out, which is pretty evident by some of the news and storylines we've got today. We're just going to jump right into it. Before we jump right into it, we've been doing a lot of mocks. I don't know about you guys, you know, but it's fun. It's that time of the season. Sharpen your skills, right? What are some of the values that you guys have seen? And we'll just pick one so far. What are some of the values that jump out to you in these mocks so far? And we'll start with you, George.
I am loving the value of the running back, the starting running back, I should add, in the New York Jets, that being Isaiah Crowell. I've been a huge fan of his all this offseason. He's only two seasons removed from rushing over 1,000 yards in Cleveland. He was so hyped last year. People were taking him in the second, third round in their actual drafts. And they act like he went to New York, which was a worse offense than what they had in Cleveland last year. It's just not true. So I'm loving myself some Isaiah Crowell. And the fact that Elijah McGuire is now out with a broken foot, that may have saved Bilal Powell's job, but I'm still loving it even more for Isaiah Crowell.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get worse from a Browns offense. Maybe if he were still there, then it would, you know, not worse. It would have been a lot more improved. But from the Jets, I mean, not the most exciting, you know, not one that we're talking about too much. But at that value, yeah. I mean, he is going to be a starting running back unless what we see someone else emerge from there. What are your thoughts about Crowell, Josh?
I'm not quite as high on him. And the only reason I say that is just because they ran such a funky rotation last year in New York. Now, granted, they got rid of the offensive coordinator that was supposed to be in charge of that. So, you know, maybe this year's going to be different. I do see that there is some benefit to drafting him in the eighth and ninth rounds right now. That, I mean, if he plays, let's say, you know, 60% of the snaps, 50% of the snaps and sucks up, let's say, you know, 180 to 210 carries, there's some value there for a player right. like that. Because he should fall in the end zone, you know, 5, 6, 7 times with those carries. So I see the benefit to it. Personally, I'm not really chasing much on the Jets from a rushing perspective right now. I did have some Elijah McGuire during the offseason just because he was the cheapest option on the team. But obviously, you know, you mentioned his injury, George. That kind of puts a little bit of ding in his value. So with the injury, I think it's okay probably to even move Crowell up a little bit. Because, there's a threat to the job that's gone away for, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks, probably. And we don't know if McGuire will even be seen again this season. I mean, it's possible right. they stash him on IR and look to bring him back in the second half or not at all. So it's he's an interesting proposition right now just because I think there's a lot of question marks in that offense.
And there was talk about Alfred Morris coming on after that injury. So a lot of waiting and seeing. Josh, if you could give us, who's your value? Who's the guy you're saying that's just fallen and you're just like, why is that happening at this point?
You know, it's I think to me right now it's probably John Brown, wide receiver for Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I know why he falls. Like, it's very clear why he falls. Right. That's because people think that he's an injury issue. And in Arizona, that was the case. But, you know, obviously John Brown suffers from sickle cell anemia, and that is that's a disease that becomes more prevalent at altitude, to the point where many players that suffer from sickle cell trait don't travel to Denver for road games. Right. So being in Phoenix, Phoenix is also at altitude. Now, it's not quite at Denver altitude, but it is at altitude. It's at a couple thousand feet above sea level. So John Brown with sickle cell trait playing in Arizona all the time, there's some issues there. And that probably was one of the main reasons, at least in my opinion, why he stayed so injured in Arizona. So now he's in Baltimore. He's at sea level, playing at sea level all the time. I think that bodes well for his upside this season, especially given his cost. His cost right now is basically the last round for the second wide receiver in what should be a high volume passing offense. I think even if Lamar Jackson ends up taking the snaps, a team that was probably going to throw the ball 550 times this year. So if you think about that, then I've got John Brown and an offense that will throw the ball 550 times, and he's probably going to be slotted for 110 to 120 of those targets. I'm all in for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's great value. Last round, you got a guy, we've been hearing some reports out of camp, he's been pretty impressive. I mean, he doesn't have much to contend with, you know, which helps him. I mean, he's got Rashard Perriman, you know, there. He hasn't been looked, he hasn't looked very good. You know, they got Crabtree, but really there, he's probably vying for that, what, that number two role there. And, you know, some good reports from Flacco from the camp. We'll get into that later on in the show. And what are your thoughts about that, George? Are you high on George Brown, or is he coming around to you now?
I'm starting to warm up to him.
Okay.
It's hard to be a fan of anybody in the Ravens wide receiver core right now. Crabtree, I do like the value where he's going in most mocks. But I can't – it's really hard for me to get excited – for really anybody in the Ravens wide receiver core.
Well, someone's got to score touchdowns in the Jets backfield, and someone's got to catch other balls other than Michael Crabtree. So let's move on into the news. Browns owner Jimmy Haslam alluded to Josh Gordon's addiction struggles. When asked about the receiver's absence, he declined to comment on the report. Gordon must request reinstatement from the Browns in writing, and it must be approved from the commissioner. So, given all of this, you know, apparently he also had a treatment in Gainesville, and he's back there again. He had spent 90 days in inpatient abuse facility in Gainesville last summer and fall. So he's back there apparently. What are we to expect about this? Are we going to see Josh Gordon in a uni, in the Browns uni? Is it going to happen? What can we take from this? Josh, we'll go to you first.
You know, I think he's being smart about this, Josh Gordon. That is, I think he's being really smart about this. He's been upfront. He's being very open about this. So, you know, we're seeing qualities, we're seeing traits in Josh Gordon now that we didn't see before for someone that, you know, allegedly had addiction issues. Now he's very open about it, saying, look, I'm struggling, I'm getting help, and I'll be back as soon as I can. So to me, that tells me that he's going to be playing quite a bit this year. Now, is he going to play 16 games? That's a good question. I don't know if I could depend on 16 games from a player that's still suffering with addiction like this and openly going through it. You know, this is unprecedented, really, I think, in the league to have a player that's come back after basically 2+ years away for drug issues and actually play number one, and then number two coming into the next season and step away from the team again, very publicly step away from the team to seek more treatment. So, with it being unprecedented, I'm very hesitant to draft him because his price right now is just it's stratospheric for the situation. Now, if he were an 8th round pick or a 9th round pick, he's worth the risk.
Right.
But in the 4th round, I just don't see how you can do it right now.
George?
No, listen, I love the fact, like Josh alluded to, that Josh Gordon is doing this in public. He's not hiding, you know, behind the team. He's very open about what's going on, what he's doing. Those are characteristics we hadn't really seen from him in the past. I have heard rumblings that it could be something to do with the HBO Hard Knocks being there, and he just doesn't want to have to go through all the questioning and having all the cameras following him around and all that at all times, which I can kind of understand. As far as his value in Dynasty, I'm buying as much as I can. As soon as the news broke, I went and actually traded for him, and I got him at a fairly discounted price. I'm a Josh Gordon truther by self-admittance. I am a closet Browns fan.
So chasing that 2013 season?
I don't listen. I'm not saying he's going to go out and put up 2013 numbers. No, I think he's a solid wide receiver two flex option in most leagues. Okay. And I just listen. I root for the guy personally.
Oh yeah, how could you not? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I was talking with Justin Lanaro a while back, and he told us, you know, I will miss my best friend's bachelor party because I don't want to deal with the temptation of the alcohol being there, and I don't want to fall into relapse. Huh. I could see Josh Gordon stepping away from the Browns right now for doing the exact same thing. There's just too much temptation with Hard Knocks and all that, and you got guys coming into the fold that, let's be honest, they're probably not going to make the team. So you don't know how they're going to react. You don't know what to expect and what you're going to get from them. So him stepping away, I applaud him. I absolutely applaud him for doing it.
Yeah, and the owner and the team, everybody's saying they're waiting for him to come back. He's, you know, welcoming with open arms. They're behind him. Josh has the person. So all good stuff, you know, but again, you know, you also got Ian Rappaport sources saying that the Browns and Dez Bryant, they could sign as early as today. Now, that didn't happen. You know, we're at the end of Monday, and it was reported saying it could happen. What are the chances this happens? And if this does happen, more writings on the wall, or is the Browns just trying to be the best? I mean, they're really trying to turn it around from last season and add as much, you know, weapons as they can. So how are we going to read into that? George, we'll start with you.
I think it's noise more than news with Dez Bryant. I don't see him going to Cleveland, to be honest. And if Dez Bryant goes to Cleveland, that says a lot more about Corey Coleman, in my opinion, than it does about Josh Gordon or anything else they got going on there.
Interesting. Josh?
You know, it's really strange to me, right, that the Browns would court Dez Bryant. Ian Rappaport, at least in my opinion, he's just a known shill for agents. So I think this is probably more of an agent putting something out there. Favor. Yeah, him doing a favor for an agent than there actually being any interest here. I think it's a lot of smoke, but probably no fire. Now, if, you know, for some reason, if Dez does show up in Cleveland, what does that mean? George, you make an interesting point about, you know, is that the writing on the wall for Corey Coleman? I don't necessarily think so, because they're two very different receivers. So I think what they're just trying to do is maybe put an insurance policy in place in case Josh Gordon stays away for the season.
Very good points from both you guys. We're going to move on to George Reed. He's 100 times better, apparently, from 2017. So might put up some fun math out there on a Sleeper Bot app. The Sleeper app, 100 times 2017 was some fun number. Whatever, but after multiple surgeries, bones removed from this guy's toe, he's good. He's good to go. You guys buying into Josh? Jordan Reed being back at 100%. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, man, I've been doing it all off season. He's been so cheap, right? So cheap compared to what he was last season and the season before, that he's worth the risk. And if he is healthy this season, I mean, heck, if he plays 8-12 games and that's all you get out of them, that's a win just because of his upside. And I think in that offense, he's still going to be the explosive tight end. And, you know, the fact that he is feeling healthy, that he's had, you know, this part where they talk about removing bones from his toes, I don't know that seems like it's probably miscommunicated. I've had surgery like this before where they took out part of a bone because it had fallen off and wedged in the joint. And I have a feeling that's probably what Jordan Reed has had done and not had his actual toe bones removed.
George, you got anything else to add to this Jordan Reed news? You buying into him now being healthy? Or, I mean, we all heard the old rules of, what, Rule 86 and this and that, and about Jordan Reed, if he's healthy, you play him. We tried that last year. It didn't work out so much. But apparently, you know, he wasn't really healthy. If he is right now, are you feeling confident drafting him? And would you reach for him, you know, considering that he is kind of a value as of right now?
So let me tell you this about my cousin Jordan. I have zero interest in him. Well, no, not zero. I have interest in every player, but he's just one of these guys where I don't feel comfortable as him being my tight end one. He's somebody that if I draft him, I'm definitely going to have to take somebody else to pair with him because of the uncertainty. He's got all the talent in the world. He's without a doubt a top five talent, but we've seen it year after year after year after year where the best ability a player can have is availability, and he just is not available most of the time. So he's going to have to prove it to me that he can play 15, 16 games. If he does, listen, fantastic. Whoever got him, he probably killed it for him. We all know how much Alex Smith loves his tight end. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's in a perfect situation with the perfect quarterback for him. But he's not somebody I think I would be willing to risk as my tight end one without having somebody behind him that I can rely on if needed.
Now, even at that ADP, I mean, he's going like ninth round at this point. I mean, you don't really have to risk much at that point. And, you know, as you alluded, you know, Alex Smith, he does like his tight ends. You know, I mean, he had Travis Kelce. He doesn't have much wide receivers there, even though a lot of people seem to love Jamison Crowder. I like Jamison Crowder, too. I don't get the super love that he's getting, but I'm digressing. So not even at that ADP, you're not a fan of your cousin Reed over there?
No, I have to. I don't like carrying two tight ends. I like to have one tight end and stream for bye weeks. And if I take, because I value the roster positions, and with Jordan Reed, him and our next subject, you have to roster a second tight end with them.
Right.
And I don't want to do it.
All right. Well, speaking of another tight end that you may want to be staying away from, another guy not, you know, particularly ever healthy, but apparently he is now. He passes physical. Tyler Eifert. I mean, his back seems to be okay now. He's not going to be on the PUP list. This is amazing for Bengal fans, I suppose, right? Are you guys buying into Tyler Eifert being healthy past a game or two, Josh?
Yeah, not really. Back injuries always scare me, especially with guys that have to block quite a bit just because of the compression that could put on the spine. So I'm dubious that he's going to last long this season. Now, I mean, could he? Sure, he could do that if they put him, you know, maybe they put him in a pure pass catching receiving role and let Tyler Kroft do the blocking. And then at that point, Tyler Eifert can totally exceed expectations. I'm not drafting him personally. I have a little bit from very early in the offseason when I thought there was some value, like in a 13th or 14th round of a best ball. But If I'm in a waiver league, I'm not touching him. I'll let somebody else take the risk right now.
Yeah, I've got a couple shares of Tyler Kroft in other leagues, and then also in the Scott Fish. So I'm hoping that, you know, if he does start for you guys, maybe a game or so. But, you know, for my own selfish reasons, I kind of want Tyler Kroft to go out there and catch some balls. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. We're going to move on to the Colts camp. Multiple reports from Colts camp, Andrew Luck looking like he's back, looking like he's healthy. Luck apparently got hot, completing four deep passes in a row, one where he looked off the safety and drilled the wide open T.Y. Apparently, Zach Kiefer said he wasn't sure how good the defense was. I don't think they improved that much over there. So good news there. Apparently also Deion Kane pushing for serious snaps, beat writer Zach Kiefer also reported. Kane has been turning heads early and often, and he's flat out hard to ignore. Every time you looked up, number eight's out there doing something, Keith reported. Also, Kane spent the week with Hall of Famer Randy Moss, practicing in the offseason. Not a bad guy to learn a thing from. What are we taking from these reports, George?
We're taking the fact that Andrew Luck is back. I've been saying all offseason long. I thought he was going to play this year. I thought he would regain his form. I wanted to see him get hit, which I haven't seen yet. But once I see him get hit and pop up from being hit, I'm all in on Andrew Luck this year. Where you're getting him in most drafts right now, that ADP is, especially after reports like this, it's just going up. It's not going down. You're not getting him at the value you were once getting him. I mean, he's going right now, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, at 8-12. That's going to go up. That's going to go up significantly. He's going to jump up ahead of Stafford, Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, and he'll fall within the 5-6 range, in my opinion, on where he'll be drafted. So I'm all in with him. I'm trying to get him in as many leagues as I can if we're drafting now, just because the value is there. And you know you're getting a top five quarterback come the end of the season.
You buying Deion Kane hype?
Somebody's got to be the wide receiver too, right?
All right. And Ryan Grant not doing it for you, I guess.
No, Ryan Grant's not moving any needles with
Chester
me.
Chester Rogers not doing anything for you?
No, absolutely not.
Josh, what do you think about this hype about the Colts camp?
I'm all in on the Colts this year because of the regime change. And, you know, obviously it's nice that they get Andrew Luck back, but I think this team had a lot to be optimistic about, even if it was Jacoby Brissett playing quarterback this season, just because of who they've hired to come in and take over the offense and Frank Reich. So, you know, if we believe that they're going to run more, let's say, optimized offense like Philadelphia did last year, then we have to think that there is nothing but upside for all of the players in the offense. It's a rising tide that will lift all ships. And, oh, yeah, they've got Andrew Luck back. So, for me, Deion Kane, would I draft him? I'm probably going to lay off of that right now, unless it's a dynasty league. If it's a redraft, I'm going to lay off of him. I will take some shots on Ryan Grant late because they did sign him. They are paying him. So I tend to think that since they're paying him, they like something about his game and they will utilize him. But really, if I'm going to chase options in that passing offense, I'm going to look at the two tight ends. So obviously it's Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron. And I'm going to look at the running backs because I think the running backs could see a lot of targets in this offense. I don't believe the offensive line is really that much improved over last year. Now, granted, they did add Quentin Nelson early in the draft this year, and that guy is an absolute mauler. And I expect that he will make that entire line better, but he's just one man. So I do expect they're going to throw to the running backs quite a bit. And then, oh, yeah, they drafted Nyheim Hines, right? So Nyheim Hines is a Swiss Army back, and he's kind of a do-it-all guy. And I expect that, you know, I think he and Marlon Mack both could see in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 targets apiece in this offense. So,
yeah.
For me, is the wide receiver two worth chasing in this offense? Certainly, I think so. I think there's some touchdown upside and some volume upside. But if I'm really going to go after the passing game, I'm going to look at the tight ends and the running backs.
Yeah, so, I'm really liking Nyheim Hines. I'm sorry, go ahead, George.
No, I think you were just rolling right into it. I was going to ask Josh's opinion on the running backs there.
Yeah, so for me, I'm taking shares of all three, because I don't think there's any clarity on who will be the starter. They're all cheap. Now, Marlon Mack, there is some cost assigned to Marlon Mack now, and Hines has gotten more expensive since the draft. So they're both, I think Mack is somewhere in the 7th to 8th round right now, and Hines is in the 10th, sometimes 11th. So, I mean, there's a cost attached to it now that wasn't there early in the offseason. But I will say this. I think with Mack being the incumbent and probably the most athletic running back of the bunch, I think he's going to get the first shot. And I think that Hines will have a role carved out for him regardless because of his ability to run and catch the ball.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I look at Nyheim Hines and I see a little bit of kind of like when Bradshaw was there and he looked really good. He was pretty much a top 10 guy catching balls, and in that red zone, I think he could be a red zone factor there as well. He's certainly a do-it-all back. It's exciting one to watch. And Jordan Wilkins, I mean, if you could get a Jordan Wilkins in the 14th round, I mean, any pieces of this offense, you know, if you're looking at a healthy Luck, man, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be pretty good. All right, we're gonna move on to some other values. I believe it's some talk out of Dolphins camp. And surprisingly, I guess people are just, you know, tired of the hype around Dolphins, you know, from last year on to this year. It doesn't seem to be translating at all on draft boards. Dolphins, Adam Gase said the team is trying to find Albert Wilson's role. It seems to be something to figure out beforehand. They gave him a 3-year, $24 million. Wilson's been working behind Parker, Stills, and Amendola so far at camp. Amendola is expected to get the Jarvis Landry role. Seems Wilson's nothing more than insurance piece at this point. What do we think about the receivers there? Let's talk a little bit about the running backs as well out of Dolphins camp. It seems to be all really great values right now as well.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy about the running game in this offense, and that's because I think they're going to be behind quite a bit. So because of that, I think that the workload is probably going to be split up to the point where maybe none of these guys is worth buying, especially Kenyon Drake at his ADP right now in the fourth round. That's a hefty price to pay for a guy that could be knocked down to 150 touches max and maybe not see much goal line work because they did sign Frank Gore. And because of that, I'm just going to lean over to the passing game. I think Ryan Tannehill right now is a fantastic value. Now, is he a good quarterback? I think probably not. But if the team is in the right game script this season, which is, you know, behind frequently, and they do have some really good pass catchers around him, and they have a pretty creative offensive guy calling the plays, I think Tannehill's a good value. I really, really like Kenny Stills again this year. You know, all he's done since he's come to Miami is produce 100 plus targets both seasons that he's been in Miami. So I'm not sure how you can look away from Kenny Stills in this offense right now and not come away thinking that he's the best receiver to have.
Yeah, I mean, and you're getting him in the 11th round right now. You're getting Parker. I'm not in love with Parker. I just don't like the way he approaches the game. Like to see something different from him. I live here in Miami. Well, not Miami. I live in Fort Lauderdale and get to watch most of their games. Parker just seems disinterested. Amendola in the 14th round. That's a nice value, especially if these reports from Armando Salguero are true. He's kind of been harping on him all offseason. If he fills that role, that could be huge. And Stills, man, this is his third year into this offense. Man, I've loved me some Kenny Stills. I've loved him since he was on the Saints and just didn't really get enough of a shot. Loving him right now. He got paid and he seems to be earning his money. George, well, you got
I am just like the rest of the NFL, just sitting here waiting for Devontae Parker to break out because I believe I've been hearing it now for 3 years. This is finally the year he's going to break out. He's not going to break out. As a Dolphin fan, it pains me to say this. He was a bust as a draft pick. Yeah. I don't see us re-signing him. I don't see him busting out. I do love Kenny Stills in this offense. I think right now he's the best wide receiver on the team. Parker's got the most talent, but there's just something with him. He just, whether it's effort or if he gets even a little ding up, he doesn't play. It makes no sense to me. I wish they'd give Albert Wilson the role that they're giving Amendola. I get Amendola's been around longer. I just think Wilson is better suited for a replacement for Landry than Amendola. I was excited when we got Wilson. I was disexcited when we got Amendola because they're the exact same player.
Right. Well, apparently, Amendola's been the one that's been, you know, doing more with the opportunities given. I mean, to be fair, they're both learning this new offense. Neither one of them were in this offense last year. You know, Wilson, he looked good at the end of the last season when he was with the Chiefs. He had, I think, caught like 10 balls or something like that. He had a good impression of Tyreek Hill his last game of the season. But Wilson doesn't really seem to be showing much at this point. Amendola, in the 14th round, That's hard to, you know, to snub your nose at if there are so many targets left on the open right now. I mean, who else is catching balls? I mean, you know, somebody's got to do it. And Landry was number six in the PPR league last year. Yep. That's a lot of production out there that has to be replaced. So someone's going to do it aside from Stills, and we're already down on Parker. I don't know. I'm kind of liking Amendola. I'm liking all of the Miami guys, I guess, just because of the value. Drake. I think he's been going a little too high. Even though I'm fine with drafting Drake, if I skipped out on some of the the higher echelon running backs. But yeah, at that value, and again, we go back to value. It's a decent price. All right. Well, we're going to go back to, I guess we already covered this, that John Brown continues to stand out. Anything else about John Brown you guys want to cover? I had this, and we talked about him a little earlier, so I guess we don't really have to talk about him much. I guess we'll just roll back into how Flacco's been looking. So, longtime Raven Observer told NBC's Peter King that Joe Flacco was having far and away the best training camp in his career. King was impressed by the practice he saw, knowing Flacco made six beautiful medium to deep throws right on the money in team drills. Baltimore has not even played their first preseason game, but every report from Flacco has been glowing in camp. Lamar Jackson's shadow is printed large, but it's looking like Flacco is up for the challenge. Any chance he has like an Alex Smith type of season from last year? He does have John Brown there, who ran a 4.340. Tyreek Hill was a 4.2 or so. So, hey, any chance we see Alex Smith type of year out of Joe Flacco?
Well, we know the one thing. The Ravens are going to throw the ball. They throw the ball every single year. Like I said, not a huge fan of the wide receiving core there. I do like their tight ends. I believe Hayden Hurst is going to be the he's probably going to be the best tight end this year of all the tight ends that were drafted, just because Joe Flacco loves his tight ends. I like in the backfield, Buck Allen, very underrated pass catching back coming out the backfield. I'm not really too sure Collins is going to get too many passes thrown his way. Their defense is good, so they should be in a lot of games. But I still think that Joe Flacco is going to throw the ball 500 times this year. Easy. He does it every year.
Josh?
It's interesting because we've seen all the reports come out of Baltimore that have been touting Lamar Jackson. You know, he's getting first team reps. He's going to play. You know, they're committed to saying this, that, you know, he's going to play whether Flacco's on the field or not. And to me, it's just really been this campaign by the team to light a fire under Joe Flacco's butt. And maybe this is some of the proof that that this is working. You know, if he's having this allegedly great camp, then, you know, maybe the Lamar Jackson shadow is working to get him doing what they expect him to do for his millions and millions of dollars. Do I think he's worth drafting? Absolutely. I mean, he's like QB 30 right now. Yeah. It's tremendous value. Yeah. And we, you know, George, you just mentioned it, the amount of times that we expect this offense to throw the ball. If he does, I mean, if Alex Smith 2017 is in his range of outcomes, and I think it's on the high side, but is it reasonable? Right. Sure. Then QB 30 is a pittance to pay for a player like that. And that's what we were given for Alex Smith last year. That's what we gave for Jared Goff last year. That's what we gave for Carson Wentz last year. So if we keep that in mind, that this is in the range of outcomes, then yeah, I think we should probably chase Joe Flacco a little bit, especially if we're late round QB folks.
And Josh, I mean, doesn't it seem, you know, at least in, you know, we're a community that likes to wait on the quarterback. Doesn't it seem like every year there's a quarterback that finishes in the top three or so that's wasn't supposed to be drafted? I mean, look, we had Alex Smith last year. The year before, who do we have? Matt Ryan. The year before, we had, even though, you know, Cam Newton's, you know, we pick him high every year, but I don't think he went undrafted in a lot of teams that year. He won the MVP or went out there and, you know, had an MVP-like season. I feel like every year we're always talking up guys, and then there's this one guy that's like, you know what? You guys are not talking about me. I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to be a top five guy. And it seems that way every year. So it's not out of, you know, the realm of possibilities, even though it's laughable kind of. But at the same time, I mean, look, Alex Smith did it, you know. And I mean, if Flacco is having these, you know, glowing reports like that, hey, it could be Flacco. Why not, right?
That's right. Why not?
So right, is there is there a quarterback late that you like that you think actually could that could elevate himself this year to, we'll say, even a top seven quarterback? Like, for example, I have a thing for ugly players. And what I mean by ugly players is I have a thing for players like Isaiah Crowell, like Elijah McGuire, like C.J. Anderson, where I just think they're severely underrated and undervalued. If I'm looking at the quarterbacks, I have a thing for Eli Manning, as bad as that sounds. You look at the offense that that team has. You got Odell coming back, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, they added Saquon Barkley. I mean, there's weapons all over the field on that team. You got Evan Ingram being drafted as a top 7 to 8 tight end. You've got Odell Beckham being drafted as a top 3 wide receiver. Saquon Barkley anywhere between 5 to 7 as running backs. I mean, Eli's going to have the opportunity to put up good numbers, and he's going in the 14th round.
Yeah. I mean, that's stealing. If he does what he's supposed to do, it could be stealing. It could definitely be, especially in a quarterback friendly league.
Yeah.
So for me,
did you have anybody, Josh?
So I mean, there's like, I think 4 guys fit this bill. Well, you know what? I take that back. You said top 7. So if I'm thinking top 7, I think Eli, yeah, I think that's certainly possible. You mentioned some very good reasons why that could happen. I think Case Keenum, who's being drafted just ahead of Eli Manning, is another player that could do just that. Now, he had a great season last year. So the question is, do we think he can repeat that? And I think he's in a situation that is, you know, kind of shake and bake, ready made, just like Minnesota was last year. You know, he has the same type of receivers around him. He's got a very similar defense supporting him. And if we feel like those factors are already in place, why is he going at quarterback 24? Right. Why isn't he quarterback 15? And then the other player I think about, and this player's been sliding a lot recently because of a suspension, is Jameis Winston. So if Jameis Winston misses 3 games, can he still finish as a top 7 quarterback? I think he can.
I think so. Especially the way he finished the season. I mean, you look at the games, you know, I was looking back at his games and, you know, just trying to find his numbers kind of jumped out at me, because I guess, you know, again, he didn't finish the way we would have liked him to, but he was hurt for like 5 games. So, yeah. And he didn't, you know, they had to bye week 1. So, you know, but the way he finished the season, I mean, That's pretty good. I mean, he didn't help you win your fantasy leagues, you know, in week 16. He only had 15 points, but he certainly helped you, you know, get there. I mean, week 13, he had 21 points. Week 14, he had 18. Week 15, he definitely got you the championship game. He gave you 30 points, you know, almost 31 points. So, and he finishes, you know, if you played into week 17, 25. So, man, I think you're really onto something with that, even missing the 3 games. And yeah, he's kind of going one of those guys too. Nobody's really drafting him unless you're in a quarterback friendly, you know, draft. So yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point.
I think the reason people aren't drafting him is because you only get him for 1 game in the first 5 weeks. And like stated earlier, I value a lot of my roster spots. As much parity as there is between the quarterbacks, I'm not going to hold on to Jameis Winston on my bench for basically 5 weeks before I get any type of return on him. That's a third of the season for the most part. I can't do it.
Well, you could probably pluck him off of waivers, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? So figure after week 1, you know, and everybody's grabbing the hottest name in all week 1 waivers, that's probably not going to amount to anything the following week. You could be snatching up Jameis Winston when people are still like, oh, he's suspended another 2 games. You know, everyone's off of him at that point. And, you know, you get, now he's only 2 games away. So, you know, it's one of those sneaky things that you can try to do. I definitely look for that late quarterback. One I can try to pair up and flip with another player, maybe to get another piece. Usually not a quarterback. I try to, you know, maybe a running back or something, and then get that, you know, Alex Smith, that Matt Ryan, that Cam Newton off waivers. That's going to turn out to be a top 3 guy and help me win my championships. So yeah, it's a good talk about Flacco and Winston. We're gonna move on to Chris Carson, man, working as a Seahawks lead back. You know, we've been hearing a lot of reports a bunch of reports about this. It seems to not be going away. It must be true, right? I mean, right? No. Penny's the first round guy, though. I mean, how could this be true? Or is it just Pete Carroll being Pete Carroll?
I'm avoiding this backfield pretty much altogether. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is cost. Right now, I think that Rashad Penny, I love the player, and I hate the situation, and I really hate the price. He's at a fourth-round pick right now. Now, if he was a fifth round, like a late fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, I'm all for that. The upside's there. But at this point, in the fourth round or sometimes even in the third, all the upside is baked into the cost. So you get nothing but really a negative return on investment if he even hits his median outcome. That's a problem for me.
Right.
So until he gets cheaper, and hopefully that happens maybe over the next week if some of this coach speak stuff keeps up, then I'll be a buyer. But for right now, I'm going to let somebody else deal with the Seattle backfield and look for value somewhere else.
Now, are you actually buying into any of this, or it's coach speak?
This is just typical Pete Carroll garbage. Right. He lies about player usage.
Yeah, he's pretty much Doug Peterson of the East. So he does the same stuff.
I can't see them investing a first round draft capital in Rashard Penny and actually not using him and not having him as a starter. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I mean, this backfield kind of reminds me of kind of like the Bucs backfield. You know, you got Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber. You know, it's kind of the same speak, whether it's coach speak or not. Do you feel the same way about the Bucs backfield, Josh? How do you feel about the Bucs backfield?
Actually, I like the Bucs backfield quite a bit because I think the prices are a lot more fair.
Yeah, that is true.
And I think they're going to have the ability to run the ball a little bit in their offense, unlike Seattle. I still think Seattle's going to struggle so much to block anybody that the run game is, I think it will continue to struggle. It'll be better than last year, I think so, but not much. But in Tampa, you know, I think I do like Ronald Jones, but I don't know if he's going to be, I don't know if he's going to be able to make it a two down role for himself. Right. I think that's going to end up being Peyton Barber when it's all said and done. And I think, you know, Ronald Jones will mix in there, but I think maybe Tampa wants to use him more like Alvin Kamara, where he's a passing down back that gets some carries on first and second, and then Barber kind of mixes in a little bit like Mark Ingram did last year. Now, is that going to work for Tampa? Hell, I don't know, but that may be what they're trying to do. Right. They may be trying to emulate their league mates. So, you know, I'm drafting a lot of Peyton Barber because he's there in the 14th round, and he played really well last year, really well. And people have forgotten that. The last five games, he was dynamite. So for me to ignore that going into this season, I think it's folly. I can't do it right now.
Josh, come over here, buddy. Just come in here and get the real thing, man. Man,
can we just do a group hug? Let's just all have a group hug.
That was good, man.
I like I said it earlier, I love ugly players. Peyton Barber is an ugly player. I love it.
He's got a ton to prove. I mean, he's the only guy on the team last year that, you know, put up over 100 yards. He pretty much put the team on his back that game against Green Bay week 13. Man, he was explosive. He was exciting to watch. And yeah, I've loved guys with a chip on his shoulder. He's got his third year into this offense. We had Greg Almond on the show, the beat writer for the Bucs. And he was kind of along the same, you know, lines. And especially when you're getting him that cheap, 14th round, a possible starting running back that can get 10 touchdowns possibly. Man, I'm all over it. I love it. And I mean, I don't know how to, the best way to close out the show. I was going to talk a little bit about Dalvin Cook. But you know, we're already all hyped up about Dalvin Cook. We don't need to talk about Dalvin Cook. Let's just embrace this moment and, you know, have another group hug about Peyton Barber before I let you guys go.
Well, I was going to ask one question to Josh. I was listening to a podcast earlier today, some gentleman by the name of Scott, what's his fish? Something like that. I don't know. I don't remember. I guess people know this guy. I don't know. he was saying that you had, and I thought it was a pretty interesting take on Jerick McKinnon. There's a ton of hype around this guy going from Minnesota to San Francisco. People are saying that he's going to be the next Devonta Freeman. And Scott happened to mention that you had a take on about looking at his metrics, where how he graded out at the combine and all his metrics and whatnot, but then how everything changes once he puts pads on.
What player was that? Jared McKinnon. That wasn't McKinnon. That may have been Christian Kirk that he was talking about. That's a player. The way you mentioned that, you know, where a player that puts on pads and becomes, you know, nothing changes about his athletic ability. Yeah, I was talking about Christian Kirk. Now, Jared McKinnon, is he that kind of player? I think it's kind of the opposite for McKinnon, at least to what I've seen. He's a 99th percentile spark athlete. He's an absolute freak. And when he puts on pads, you know, he's not 99th percentile anymore. He's probably like 80th percentile. So the tax that he pays for putting on pads – it makes him less explosive. Does that make him the type of running back you want to draft in the second? I don't know. I'm kind of hesitant about that. I like Matt Breda a lot in that offense. A lot of the reasons I like Peyton Barber.
Yeah. I love Breda. I mean, he looked good with the little bit of work that he got. I don't think they're just going to not use him, especially how great he looked last year. And Joe, what was his name? The rookie that they got, I mean, he ended up injured. Joe Williams. He didn't do anything. I mean, he's still there, but I mean, they didn't add anything else in the draft. And I love McKinnon. I absolutely love McKinnon, but Breda is probably the better rusher, you know? If Garoppolo can use him in McKinnon in the passing game, great. We haven't seen that when Carlos Hyde was there, but I still do love McKinnon. I love the offense. Second round is kind of pricey. Yeah, I agree with you there, but definitely love Matt Breda. All right, we're going to wrap up the show. Before we let you go, Josh, you want to let the good people know where to find you, where to listen to you, all the good stuff.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. My handle is at FantasyADHD. You can find my work over at Fantasy Insiders and Roto Grinders. And, you know, what I do for Fantasy Insiders is I build apps for them. So right now we've got, you know, some ADP apps running. We have a projections app in the works that I'm building right now. And we've got some other things cooking. We have an Air Yards app that's in the incubator. And we'll be working on also an adjusted matchups app, which will be for in-season stuff to compare offense and defensive matchups based on who they've already played in the season. And Roto Grinders, I'm writing some articles on best ball. We'll be doing some best ball shows coming up through August. So I'm going to be all over the place over the next month.
Very, very good. Very good. Where can the good people find you, George?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at BFTGPod. I also co-host Break from the Grind, and I also co-host a couple of podcasts for Sleeper Wire.
That is right. And you can find me. Where can you guys find me? You find me on Twitter, Prophet Hoos. You can find me on the Sleeper app at Who's the Prophet? Oh, actually, I flipped that. I'm Who's the Prophet on Twitter and Prophet Hoots on Sleeper. I always mess this up, and this is why I'm supposed to have Chris on the show leading the show, because I'm not good at the ending of it, you know? I'm just not, you know? But that's it for our show, guys. Thank you guys for listening.